Gospel reading is from John, chapter 6, verses 51 through 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." The word of the Lord.
Once again, at this time, I'd like to invite forward Anne and Willie Langji. They are leaders of the ELCA in Africa, regional representatives, and their ministry, in a way, is our ministry. The wonderful thing about being part of a big denomination is what happens over there through us is part of our ministry, and we part of them. So we look forward to hearing what they're doing and what we're doing in this story. So thank you for being with us.
Bonjour.
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 Pretty good. You need to work on your accents. So we're happy to be with you for worship this morning. As Pastor Schick has said, we serve on your behalf as missionaries of the ELCA in Madagascar, West and Central Africa. And I'm going to quickly show you where those places are on the map, but we would encourage those of you who are more interested to also join us in the fellowship hall after worship. And you can look at the map more closely. It's a little bit far for you this morning. Oh, there's one up there too. That was clever. But I like this one. Willie's going to point out some countries while I speak. Willie and I presently are living in Cameroon, which is the country that he's from. And we're fortunate that that's been our home for the last 9 years, along with our son. And we serve, however, a region that is much larger. And that region starts in Senegal and goes across to the Central African Republic, covering West and part of Central Africa, the regions that we refer to as West and Central Africa, and then jumps over to Rwanda and Madagascar. And I think that's enough with the visual aid. Thank you. In all of those countries that we travel to, the ELCA has relationships with national church bodies that are similar to our own, in that they're national Lutheran churches, but they're very different in the makeup and even the history. Some of them are churches that are 150 years old, such as in Madagascar, and others are just past 10. And that would be the case, for instance, of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Gambia, which is a tiny little country that juts into the country of Senegal. The diversity is also based on the languages that are used in those different countries. So Cameroon itself has 250 languages, but has two official languages, English and French, sort of in the reverse of Canada, with the Anglophone English-speaking region as the minority area and the French-speaking is the majority. The church is a predominantly French-speaking country because of historically where they've been based in Cameroon. The countries also vary a lot based on their political makeup and their religious makeup. So Senegal is a 95% Muslim country, and thus in that context, the church is really a minority. We have the privilege of serving in the region and being those people who follow up on the kind of financial support that we give to the churches for their various ministries. And that is everything from evangelism work, outreach work among new groups, to supporting different youth movements or the women's movements, the training of pastors, but also social ministry work, so education, agriculture, and health, and those things that we share with our neighbors. And that ministry, of course, is done by the church in the communities in which they live. And Willie's going to tell you a little story about that.
Good morning again. Well, I will not test you in another language. There are too many of them in Cameroon, about 250, so I'll let you stay with the French. As we listen to the scriptures this morning, I sometimes wonder what Christ is asking us to do. Christ said he is the bread that we have to eat, and sometimes he asks us to share that bread with other people. And first of all, we heard the Jews were asking, how can we be eating this person's body or drinking his blood? But we do that sometimes, and very often we don't realize what we're doing. And very often we do that in the times that people need it most. And you do that without even realizing it, especially when you sit here in the pews or you sit in the United States and you're doing it thousands of miles away. You did that through the World Hunger Giving in the Central African Republic. This is a country that had over 4 years of conflict, and people had to flee their homes and abandon their homes and abandon their fields, and they were very hungry. And I happened to visit one of the areas where I was affected, and I saw a group of women who had moved from one part of the region because of the war into another part. And I saw the amount of food that they had produced, especially peanut, that we eat a lot of it here, peanut butter and jelly and on bread. And they were so happy because despite the fact that they had moved from one part of the region fleeing war and went to another part, they were able to receive gifts in form of seed and farm tools that you provided for them. And with this, they were able to produce so much peanut that they were able to have enough food to eat for the year, and then more of it to sell, to make income for their families. So that was something they highly appreciated. And this is just one of the ways that we share the bread that Christ gives us with many other people around the world, without realizing that we're doing it. So the little that you give, you feel that it's little, but I always think it is very pregnant when it leaves your pocket, goes through your church office, it could be through the church office, could be through the synod, or through whatever means you give, it goes pregnant, and produces a lot of wonderful fruit that you will never imagine. So I stand here today to thank you for doing all of that for people around the world, and also encourage you to continue to do it. Thank you.
This morning we heard the text read from the Bible, And I'm not sure any of us could read the text from this Bible. And I even have to make sure that I'm holding it the correct direction. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. Does that look like it's the right direction? Maybe not so much. But in fact, this is one of the newer translations of the Bible. And I'm not sure it was read from at worship today anywhere, but it's another tool. Well, first of all, it's a gift to have the scriptures translated into many languages. And this is so this is always hard to explain. This is the translation in Fufulde, which is a language of many, many millions of people who live in West Africa, from Senegal clear across to Cameroon and the Central African Republic. But it's the particular dialect that is found in Cameroon, the Central African Republic, and Nigeria. But what's interesting about it is that if you open it, and I showed it to Pastor Schick this morning, he said, well, is it Arabic? And I said, no, but that was sort of a trick question, because it's, in fact, the Fufulde language, which is spoken in our region, the Bible had been translated into Fufulde, written in Roman script, but it has now been transcribed into Arabic script. So it makes the Bible available and accessible to millions of people who read their own language, but not in Roman script. They probably had Quranic education and learned how to read Arabic. And so they're able to read their own language with the Arabic script. Maybe that's too much to think about this early on a Sunday morning, but it's exciting. So I hope you can think about that. You can ask us more. We'll have this. You can have a look. I'm sorry I can't read it, but I'm grateful that we have the Bible in our language, which we can understand just by opening it. And just know that this morning, as we read and reflect, and as we pray and worship together, you're joined by sisters and brothers throughout the world, especially in West and Central Africa and Madagascar. They give thanks for you. They continually thank us for the fact that you keep them in their prayers, and we remind them also to keep you in their prayers. Thank you.